The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to a Spark in the Dream special on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a fantastic broadcast, a couple great professionals on the broadcast, and of course, the students and one of our administrators and teachers from Roman Catholic High School, for which I am, it is my high school alma mater, and I'm ecstatic to have everybody here. Let me bring into the program first Brian Haas, who is the athletic director at Roman Catholic. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate having you. It certainly is appreciated. The students came with you. We got a couple great students who we're going to introduce fairly quickly. But first, I want to bring in Karen O'Donnell, Stark and Stark. How are you, Karen?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
That's fantastic. We'd like you to talk about the top 10 running backs in the NFL right now. We're just kidding. Bruce Grossinger, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Thank you.
So let's start off by talking about the Spark in a Dream initiative, okay? We've been doing talk radio for about 9 years, and not long ago we've had the opportunity. We get the best professional. Karen's been on, Bruce has been on broadcast in the dozens. And so one of the things that, about a year and a half ago, I was on my way to a broadcast, and we do great radio. We've all had some great shows, and done some good stuff, but I leave the broadcast, and I'm happy if we had good guests and we had good dialogue, okay? But I also thought to myself, who would benefit from these broadcasts more than, young people who are aspiring, who want to, further themselves? And one of the things that we've talked about is a lot of young people don't have, the connections or, at a specific age. And we do all kinds of, we do the labor radio, we do the legal radio, and sports radio, the whole deal. And so we decided to come up, to put things together. Thanks to Sonny Banks and Banks Law. Sonny's a big part of this initiative. And we wanted the kids to be able to come in, the students, from the schools all across the city. And so to get the opportunity to hear the stories of the professionals, okay, and of course to hear their stories, their hopes and dreams, and what they want to do. Brian, you're the athletic director. A little bit about your story and your pathway to where you're at.
Absolutely. Well, again, thanks for having me. I'm going into my third year at Roman Catholic as athletic director. It's been a fun ride so far. Obviously, you hear Roman Catholic, you think of the athletics and all the activities and programs we have at the school, and it's absolutely true. I mean, our mock trial team obviously won a state championship last year, got to travel down to Arkansas. Our basketball program does well. We won the PCL Catholic League championship last year. We made it to the state championship for the second year in a row. It's a lot of fun. It keeps me busy, but...
And a lot of tradition at Roman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's the oldest Catholic high school in the country. And what's great, Karen, by the way, you're getting honored from your high school alma mater also. Talk about that.
So I am receiving on Monday from Neshaminy High School, which is a little bit out of the city, an alumni award for postgraduate professional and personal achievements. And it's a little shocking to me because I shared with the people who are giving me that award that I was not a great student in high school. So they clarified it was for my postgraduate work. Okay. So, but high school is an important part, and what these kids do is amazing.
And what I love about it, and this is what I said to Karen when she told me that, I love the fact that the school's giving out honors for academics and for achievement. Okay. Typically you hear it's all about athletics. And because that's what, makes the news. But that's a great honor. And so having said that, you mentioned mock trial, Brian.
Yes.
And, we've been doing the legal radio for 8-9 years. And I had just heard about mock trial a couple of years back and was absolutely amazed at, and I had the opportunity to go to a couple of the schools to learn a little bit about it, but it's a big deal. I mean, certainly, a lot of tradition. I mean, it's becoming, as big as the sports, and the school pride for it is huge.
It's huge. They have, I was talking earlier, they have their own courtroom right above our old gymnasium on the third floor. It's an amazing program. I've been a part of a few schools that I've worked at that all have mock trial programs, but nothing like Roman Catholic. It's unbelievable, and the work that goes into it. These kids are here on weekends, on Saturdays at 7, 8 in the morning. They're here working in the courtroom until about noon. It's unbelievable. They're there all day, and it shows. I mean, they get to travel over the country. What teams get to say that?
Absolutely. And if you would, tell our listeners who is going to be joining us, what students.
Yeah, so today with me, I have a freshman Chris Snyder and sophomore JoJo Gabriel. Both on the mock trial team.
And by the way, JoJo's no rookie to the program. He's a veteran.
Absolutely.
Even though he's a sophomore, he's a big dude, number one. Mm-hmm. You might want to recruit him for a football
team. I'm trying.
Team, you know, and of course, and Chris is new to the broadcast, but we're going to have some fun. It's a roundtable discussion. Dr. Grossinger, a little bit about yourself and the practice.
Well, I'm a neurologist and sports medicine doctor. I treat a lot of the athletes here in the city, the Eagles and the Sixers, and a lot of high school and college athletes. I also am specializing in concussion. So our job is to make the sport safer, football and even soccer. And I do a lot of stuff with people who get hurt, people that are injured on the job, people who work with the labor unions. And Joe Dock and myself have done that for years. So people walk in my office, they're in pain. They're usually young, and they want to get back, either back to work or they want to get back on the field. And my job is to try to get them better, coordinating with physical therapy, not using opioids or dangerous medicine, being very natural, and working with them to get them back to where they want to be.
And certainly, you talked about earlier, we were talking about stem cell. Touch on that, if you would.
Yeah, so the big thing really in medicine is regenerative medicine. If you remember Bryce Harper, he had platelet-rich plasma in his elbow. Joel Embiid had a torn LCL. In the old days, he would have been excluded. He went and had his own platelets condensed, 2 million platelets per deciliter with his plasma, injected into his knee, iced it for a day, and he came back a week later. So a lot of that, if anybody's in the listening audience and you have a lingering problem, you failed surgery, you could reach me at 610-521-6063. My name's Dr. Grossinger.
Karen O'Donnell, if you will, a little bit about yourself and of course, your practice. You've worked with a ton of our union workers, if you would.
So I'm Karen O'Donnell. I'm a shareholder at Stark & Stark. We're a personal injury firm here in Philadelphia and Bucks County. I handle a lot of construction accident cases, you know, and what I'll call one-off cases. So I do complex litigation, and I'm a trial lawyer.
And you've represented a lot of our union workers also, a lot of mutual people that we know, a lot of iron workers in particular. And just to give everybody an idea of what an iron worker is, we put up the steel from the building. By the way, a lot of guys from Roman Catholic, especially in the area where I graduated, our iron workers. In fact, the head of the iron workers now used to be her father. Then it was my father. Now it's a friend of ours, Kevin Boyle, who I went to Roman Catholic with, who was the most valuable player to Southern Division in 1981. Just a little plug for Kevin. You've represented a lot of injury. We put up the steel building. So the buildings you're sitting in, the normal way I used to look at them was from the other side of the glass on the beams. But normally when and it's unfortunate, and Karen will tell you this, when there's an injury in our area, okay, it's typically, now you get guys who will bend over and pull their back out, and that happens a lot. But in our area, it's catastrophic injuries, which means life changing. And in fact, Karen has represented a lot of them, and her own brother, who was a friend of mine, and we worked together as young iron workers. Man, oh man, that injury was horrific. Talk about representing the types of individuals, especially from personal injuries. Also, one thing that's another part of it, but injured workers, is also something you do.
Yeah, so I think a lot of times people confuse when they hear construction accident cases that it's automatically workers' comp, and you know, Sonny does workers' comp, and he's amazing at that. I do what we call third-party injury cases. So if there's someone other than your employer that's at fault for an accident, that's who we go after. So yeah, I work with Sonny on cases. He'll handle the workers' comp portion, and I do the third-party cases where I'm suing someone for being negligent at the job site, for not doing something that they should have otherwise done. So there's always multiple parts to cases, and I know our team here today is doing a criminal case, which is another aspect to the law. There can be a civil aspect, criminal aspect, workers' compensation. So I do the personal injury, the third-party cases when it comes to those types of claims.
And in layman's terms, okay, the way I would say that is if you dug a hole yourself and you fell in that hole, that's workers' comp. If somebody else dug that hole and didn't put tape around it, you fell in that hole, that's a third party. You got, and workers' compensation, if you get injured on a job, let's just say I'm swinging a beater and I hit my hand, I break my own hand, you're still covered. You can still get, it's insurance, actually. So you can get workers' compensation. Okay, it's there just in case. If somebody else, if it happened because a hammer flew over a wall because somebody else was using from another country and a company and it hits your hand and you break your hand, you're eligible for workers' compensation and a third-party situation because somebody hurt you. Was that right, Karen?
Yes.
Yes!
I think you stole my example, actually.
I learned it from you. That's why I just repeat it. Let's do this. We're going to take a short break. And then we're going to bring in Chris and JoJo with our professionals, and we're going to have a little bit of fun, talk some mock trial. We'll have more from our Spark of a Dream special on WWDB Talk 860 in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our Spark in the Dream special here at Banks Law and on WWDB Talk 860. I am ecstatic to bring into the program a young man who was not a stranger to the broadcast, JoJo Gabriel. How are you, sir?
I'm good, and you?
I'm fantastic. And one of the things that's cool, we do a number of types of our Spark in the Dream specials, okay? Professional pathways, we do the kids in the construction programs, we do a number of areas. But mock trial is really cool when we get the opportunity because we bring you in with professionals that work on different types of, Karen's an attorney, and like she said, she does civil litigation, and then there's criminal litigation. And I know that when I first learned about mock trial, and I'm sure you know more than me, Karen, but you guys do all kinds of different types of cases, correct, JoJo?
Yeah, some being civil or criminal.
Now, what got you – go ahead, Karen.
I just want to say, like, the program is amazing, but we use the word mock trial kind of because we've heard it so many times. But for people who don't know what that is, these kids are given a case, and they're given a fact pattern, and they have to figure out what the legal issues are and then present the case to a jury. And if you have – never volunteered to sit on a jury through a mock trial, you should, because the kids that are here today and the kids in that type of program are amazing.
Oh my God. And we're going to get into the witnesses and the depositions and the things you do on a daily basis. So JoJo, if you will, what got you into mock trial?
Well, originally when I first came to Roman, like, I knew we had a mock trial program, but I never intended on joining. I thought it was something that's not for me. But one of the coaches for the A team, who was also my English teacher freshman year, Mr. Penn, he put a little plug-in at the end of class to, say join mock trial.
Mr. Pensabene?
Pensabene, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
And it kind of got me a little bit interested. So that following Wednesday, I went to an interest meeting. Then Saturday, I went to practice. And then since then, I've been part of mock trial.
And so, like Karen mentioned, it's an amazing program. You go through all facets. Since you've been in the program, you're a young man. So typically speaking, Karen, did you know you wanted to be an attorney, when you were a sophomore in high school?
I did not. It didn't come till later in life when, I started. I personally experienced through my brother that I thought the process was unfair. And so I went on a quest to become an attorney to hopefully even out the field and make it more fair for people who don't have a voice.
And so, and Doc, when did you know you wanted to be a doctor?
Well, it's interesting. My dad died young of a heart problem, so I always thought I wanted to be a heart doctor. But then I went to Thomas Jefferson. I was inspired by the chief of neurology there. And then I switched courses and I went into neurology, which is brain, spinal cord, nerves. And I always kind of thought I wanted medicine. So that's something I knew. But I read every textbook in cardiology and I thought I was headed there. And then I just was inspired and moved into a different specialty.
It's interesting because, by the way, and Karen, you're talking about your brother's horrific injury to his leg, correct?
Yes.
That inspiration is powerful. I'm going to say this. I think Sonny Banks has said it many times. His pathway was interesting. He was running his fraternity, and we're at Banks on a, and they had a keg party, and they busted him. And he said he got treated incorrectly. It wasn't that, and it inspired him to go to law school. He thought he was going to be a defense attorney, because he wasn't really involved. It was a weird type of situation. But everybody has their own inspiration. The reason I say that is, you're a young man, JoJo. Do you have any idea of what direction you want to go in long term?
Well, I've been thinking about that recently, but there's like a couple of fields that I'm thinking of, but I can't really narrow it down.
Well, I just want to say one thing. You're a sophomore in high school. You got some time, and that's why I said the professionals on the broadcast, and we're fortunate enough to hear to have Roman Catholic Athletic Director Brian Haas in the house. Did you know you wanted to be a teacher, Brian, when you were a young guy?
I did not.
No? Well, there you go. I knew I wanted to be a talk radio host when I was 11. That's why I became an iron worker when I was 18 and stayed there 30 years. Yeah, see what I'm saying? Like, you're a young person, and so very few people know it at that early age. But you do mock trial. Any idea that you might become a lawyer?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it because there's a couple of fields that I'm thinking I might want to go into. One, I want to do computer science, I think.
Okay.
Do something about that. And I don't know, like, how or when, but I always want to, like, own my own business. But then after mock trial, like, since I'm doing mock trial now, since I started, like, I've kind of been interested in law. So, like, after talking to a couple of people, they were saying that, I mean, if I really wanted to, I could do a combination of all three if needed and get my computer science degree and then go to law school and specialize in law dealing.
Well, Karen, talk about.
And I think that's the cool thing about a mock trial or being on a mock trial team. I don't know that it necessarily means you're going to go to law school or be a lawyer, but the skills that you learn in a program like that, just to analyze and have the confidence to stand up and present in front of people and work in a group, are just skills that no matter what you choose to do ultimately that are going to help you get there.
Yeah, and I want to point out something. So Karen's represented a lot of catastrophically injured individuals. That means that it's not just a pulled out back. And by the way, sometimes a pulled out back can be a catastrophic injury because it never heals. But a civil litigation attorney represents individuals that may never work again, that may be totally destitute. And if you were talking about a recent, settlement, talk about the range. I want you to listen to this because, by the way, there's a million different specialties and we're going to get in that. But I'm proud of Karen about, women in law have made incredible strides. Okay. We've talked about individuals, African Americans, women, individuals who never had, the opportunities or the connections at the law firms now are, progress has been made by pioneers, individuals like Karen, like Sonny Banks. Sonny Banks, by the way, is the only African American plaintiff's attorney in workers' compensation in Philadelphia. What a plaintiff's attorney is, he represents injured individuals. There are defense attorneys, individuals that work for the insurance company, but the pioneers and the individuals and the top pros that are out there are creating inroads so that it's a fair playing field for everybody. Having said that, talk about, Karen, if you would, you just represented somebody, or you don't have to talk about that, but some of your impacting settlements or verdicts, because they're mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, they're multi-million dollars, and some of them, or most of them now, are becoming confidential just because companies don't...
Only 10,000 people listening, Karen. I'm not telling anybody.
I can't share numbers or too many specifics, but, you know, people are catastrophically injured, and it affects their family, it affects their life, and our goal as plaintiff's personal injury lawyers is to fight the fight to get them compensation, to bring them back, as the doctor said, to a point as close as possible that they were before they got hurt. And, you know, money helps people function better. And
well, you took a living, somebody at the fault of somebody else took a living off of an individual. So justice comes in a lot of different forms. That person may never work again. So who represents that person? I'm going to lay something out there for you that you may not know. Talk about the contingency fee agreement, if you would.
Yeah, so in personal injury cases, you don't pay up front. We do it on a contingency fee basis. So, and the reason we do it like that, and everyone does it like that, frankly, is, you know, these people are already either, you know, aren't here anymore because they've passed away due to somebody else's negligence, or they're not able to work. And to have to pay a lawyer hourly when you're already out of commission is just not the way it works. No, we don't ask for any money up front, and it's only if we get a recovery that we take our fee. And
these cases sometimes can last for years, right?
Sure, they can last for years. They're treating with the doctor, who's amazing, by the way, so thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Karen.
You know, to try to get better, and it doesn't always happen.
Doc, talk about that, because and what we're talking about is somebody gets catastrophically injured, a contingency fee agreement means that we could never afford attorneys and doctors at this level. They even the playing ground by saying you don't have to no out of pocket costs. If there's a settlement and the case settles, they get paid. If there's not, which rarely happens because they're so good, they'll get their fees out of the and expenses out of the settlement. These cases, by the way, can go for years. I mean, longest case you've ever done. You could, you know, I'm just saying, if they, you know, years.
There are cases that goes for years. We obviously try to move them along as soon as possible because, you know, someone's already in a compromised position, not working. You don't want to delay anything. But
insurance companies, they're just not rolling over just because, you know,
right.
You're right.
Yeah. So as a plaintiff's lawyer, we represent the person. We don't represent the insurance company. So, you know, to your point, Joe, sometimes it takes longer because the insurance companies stall. And sometimes the judicial system creates problems
for
us.
During COVID also, right?
Yeah. I mean, COVID was very hard for plaintiff's lawyers. Cases, I mean, we weren't having court. And so part of what we do is we go to court, we go to trial, we go the miles or the extra mile to try a case. And when the courts weren't open, it was hard to get those cases moving. So, but we try and we do a good job at Stark and Stark to get the cases moved along. But sometimes due to things out of our control,
right.
You know, they do take longer than we would like them to.
And at the same time, they're not charging an out-of-pocket fee to the individual. The payoff comes at the end, okay, and it's just I get chills every time I think of the contingency fee agreement because you have individuals, top professionals, that are willing to take on a case on behalf of somebody who can't represent themselves, okay, and there's no out-of-pocket cost, which means if that case lasts 1, 2, or 3 years, they don't get paid unless they win. And if they don't win, which is rare with top professionals like the ones that are on this broadcast, there's still no out-of-pocket cost for the individual. Bruce, Dr. Bruce, if you would talk about individuals who, if Karen has an injured worker or somebody who's injured, and you are treating that individual, you do the same thing. There's no out-of-pocket cost when somebody walks in, who literally at this, especially if it's a worker or personal injury, and their personal insurance won't pay for it. You also, it's not a contingency fee agreement, but you give the same courtesy and also you not only treat them, but you'll go to court on behalf of them.
Yeah, so just putting that there, everybody who comes to us, whatever they have, they might have state insurance, Medicaid, they might have everything or anything. If they have workers' comp, there's something called the grand bargain where they're entitled to coverage. So what I do is I treat everybody the same when they come in the door. We figure out what's going on. We do some tests. We do some MRIs. Might do some nerve tests. And we treat them. We interface. And what I do at a certain point is I write a comprehensive narrative. So I write a narrative, something called a plaintiff's IME. I include a life care plan. Say a young person's injured, like her brother. I got to put a life care plan in. Why put numbers in? They're going to need therapy for the rest of their life. They might need injections for their spine. Put it all together, and I've got to be able to basically speak to a jury or a workers' comp judge, and I've got to be able to summarize what's going on with that individual and be like a professor to teach people that are not doctors what's really going on. And oftentimes the insurance company will hire a doctor who might say, hypothetically, they're fine. They fell off a scaffold, they broke an arm, they have a huge hernia disc, and I'm always up against somebody who might say, they're fine, there's no problem. So I'm on the good guy. I'm like Robin Hood. So I'm on the little guy's case, right? And all I got to do is just tell the truth and speak and be clear and to be confident. And then the other attorney is going to come at me and try to ask me probing questions. And having done this for 3 decades, I'm pretty good at it, actually. And ultimately, if I'm representing or if I'm on the side of somebody as their doctor, my job in court is just to explain the medicine.
Okay, so having said that, JoJo, let's talk about mock trial and your favorite parts of it. Since you got into mock trial, let's talk about, you know, your experience and what you like best about it and what role, defense, plaintiff, criminal, talk about, your experience and what you like best about it and what area you like best.
Well, last year in mock trial, we went to a lot of places. We went to University of Pittsburgh to compete, LaSalle University to compete, UPenn to compete. We also went to the CJC and the federal courthouse for the city's competition.
Wow.
And actually not too long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago or so, I went to Chicago with the Empire team for Roman Catholic High School.
Wow.
And yeah, we competed there. Chicago's really fun, you know. Yeah, I enjoyed the trip a lot.
Awesome.
And then we actually just got our new case for this season a couple days ago on Monday.
And you, what part of it do you like best? In other words, do you see yourself as a defense attorney, a plaintiff's attorney? Would you like being a witness? Talk about your role that you like the best in it.
Well, because the thing is, I was actually an attorney last year, and I liked it. But when I went to Chicago, I was actually a witness, and I'm a witness right now, too. But I still like being an attorney more because I like making the objection arguments and cross-exams. So,
really?
Yeah, I hope I get moved to attorney again.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. A friend of mine, he said this, and you might have heard of it. You can't handle the truth. Wasn't he cross-examining?
Who's that, Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise. Certainly, could you see yourself, what area of the law and what type of cases that you enjoy?
Well, last year I only did civil cases, but now that I got my first criminal case, it's a lot more interesting because, like,
somebody's life is on the line.
Yeah, because this one is a murder. So,
Wow. Mm-hmm. And what role are you representing the murder? Or are you prosecutor?
A witness to the murder?
I'm a defense witness to. I'm a defense witness to say that another person
did it.
To set up the defendant to make it seem like he hired a hitman to do the murder.
Wow.
So it's pretty amazing that, these mock trials give them such an array of different type of cases, because if you decide to become an attorney, like even personal injury, in the simplest of forms, I may have a car crash case where the person at fault is DUI. And so there's a criminal aspect to the civil case. So they'll get charged with DUI. Yeah. There's a prosecutor. And so I need to know and be involved in that portion of it, even though I'm the personal injury attorney. So it's a great program, and it's amazing that they're giving you those types of views.
Also, like civil assault. Like, in other words, somebody could be walking in a dark parking lot and get attacked. There's a criminal part, and if it's dimly lit or something like that, that's another area where they cross over.
Yep.
Karen, how did you decide what specialty? I always was really, now I have a good idea, but you know, not, it's an interesting way attorneys decide that what specialty they want to have. How did you come up about that?
So I was a paralegal before I went to law school. So I was working as a paralegal, I think, for 6 years. I had actually gone to Manor College and got my paralegal certificate. So my first job was here in Philadelphia in a firm that was doing civil work. So I was pretty familiar with that. And, you know, then my brother was injured and I thought, okay, I want to take it a step further. But because I was already familiar with civil, that's what I knew on that side as plaintiff's lawyer. So I stuck to that. I did work and clerked at a defense firm for a summer, and it was just not me. And I quickly went back to representing people who I believe needed a bigger voice.
And having said that, a lot of individuals, I mean, we've had a lot of attorneys that we've done, they do start on the defense side civilly. They get that background. You typically hear the same thing. It wasn't for me. But that experience sometimes goes well with what you're doing now. When you're representing a plaintiff, you know, they're representing somebody who's injured, having worked on the other side, that gives you, a knowledge and experience of what the strategy might be, and educating your client to let them know, well, here's what's going on.
Exactly. I mean, you have to know the other side, right? And these gentlemen are learning to look at things from that perspective so that you can fix those problems and close those doors so that they don't become bigger problems. So having both aspects of it definitely helped.
Let's talk about the JoJo, the preparation for mock trial, for a competition. Because you're not just getting a story to read the night before. And, talk about the team. Okay, and the preparation, and what it entails to prepare for a big competition.
Well, you know, actually, so since we have like newcomers every year, for the first,
I know a newcomer. His name's Chris Snyder. Yeah. He's going to be on next.
Yeah, we have like this. I don't know what to call it, but every Saturday for about 4 to 6 weeks or so, we go over the basics of like law and mock trial so they can be accustomed to it. And they work with their own case, like a preseason case, so they can like get accustomed to mock trial. And then after that, we split up into four teams, A team, B team, C team, and D team. And that's when we separate.
One of the teams will play the other school and you'll compete against your own team?
Yeah. So usually before Pittsburgh, we have a intra-team scrimmage. And, you know, see how good everybody is. And then Pittsburgh is four separate bodies. And so the A team could get first or B team could get second. Like, yeah, it's cool. And we usually do that.
You practice once a week? Is that what it is?
Saturdays.
Saturdays?
From 9:30 to 1-ish. But usually before competitions, like when we're getting close, we might have another practice after school during the weekdays. So, like, maybe like on Wednesday or something like that.
Shout out to your mock trial teacher. Who is it?
Mr. Penn.
Oh, Mr. Penn. Okay. Also, I want to shout out Brian Conroy, who helped make this happen. And, of course, our athletic director, Brian Haas, for also making it happen at Roman Catholic High School.
Joe, I got to tell you, I'm sitting here and listening to JoJo, and this is real life.
Yeah.
I mean, as attorneys, professional attorneys, when there's a trial, you're working late, you're working weekends, you're working with your team. So, I mean, it's an amazing program that they've exposed you to that.
But you know what's interesting about that? The competition, okay? And you know, you were an athlete, and, you know, Karen, and the competition, when you talk about, it, you know, mock trial or trial, I mean, obviously a trial, you talk about the preparation, the performing, all those things. How long before a trial, you know, let's just say it's a year and a half. When does you know, the team lock in and say, okay, trial's coming up in 2 weeks. At what point does, what is the normal process for a law firm and attorneys when it comes to, okay, locking the doors and we're in for the, you know, duration?
Yeah, well, at Stark, when we get a case, we are trial lawyers, so we're working that case up from day one expecting to go to trial. So, I mean, you, for us, you can't lock the doors and fix what you should have fixed a year ago.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So from day one, we're looking as if we are going to trial, not just settle. But there is a period of time where, you know, my friends call it trial mode, where they know that they are just not going to get a hold of me probably for at least 2 or 3 months before a trial.
Okay, so
complex cases.
I was saying, like, for, you know, I was like, can I equate it to game week? You know, well, let's talk about the week ahead of time. But like, you get that same adrenaline rush if you're going to trial. Okay, I mean, talk about that. Like, we're a week away. It's, you know, it, you know, you get, you know, it's just like, you know, the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, a week away, you're done. You should be done everything you need to do. You should be ready to walk in that door, or you've already completed depositions like the doctor was talking about. But yeah, it's just like a sports event. You know, your adrenaline goes, you have to be on, you have to perform. There's expectations, and you know, most importantly, you have someone that you're representing that you have put your heart and soul behind and into to make sure that they get what's fair.
Jojo, talk about the skills that you've learned in this process. And you know, obviously soft skills are important. You know, talk about, you know, performing and, you know, at the event, you know, it's game time.
Well, definitely a big one would be public speaking, because like, even when I went to Chicago, like I speak normally, you know, when I'm not pressured, I guess, but you know, in trial or like when I'm up on the stand, I might speak too fast or muddle over my words, and like I might not speak as clear so that the jury can hear me, like loud and clear. But mock trial definitely taught me how to speak, project my voice, make sure to go slow and be thorough with my words. And it also helped me to kind of think on my feet when I was an attorney, because objections, you don't know what the other side is going to say. So you got to make sure to have those hearsay exceptions in your head, or like any other things to win the objection.
Can I talk about prepping? I've heard attorneys say, okay, the strategy of the actual, you know, the actual trial, you know, can be altered depending upon their own their own client, if they're very nervous or they're, you know, I mean, their personality is abrasive. Or how do you coach or prepare somebody, better way to say, how do you prepare somebody and talk about like what Jojo just said, you know, what is most important about that witness?
I think the most important thing about your witness is you want them to be genuine, obviously, and come across as a likable person. But what we do is we spend time with our people, our clients, and I've gone to their homes, multiple preps. I get to know their families. So you just need to know who you represent, and that starts from day one. And there is preparation. And because you said yourself, Jojo, you would rather be an attorney than a witness. Yeah. Being a witness is not an easy thing, because you're being thrown questions and you're on the spot. So you do have to prep your witness, but most, you have to have a personal relationship with your client. And that may mean going to their home and meeting them multiple times, and really from day one, getting to know who they
are. And creating a comfort level, because,
correct,
especially, and I'm going to take a shot at this because I've done shows with Karen and talking about preparing. It's not just you interviewing them. They're going to have to take some heat from the other side, who may not have good intentions. In other words, obviously, you know, the insurance company's there to win, and they may be going after somebody who's, you know, doesn't have those soft skills that JoJo's talking about. How do you prepare them? You know, what do you create a comfort level?
So the way we prepare them for the cross-examination is we will do mock cross-examination. Like, we'll have a client come in. I may have another attorney in the firm actually do the cross-examination of the questions that I think the other side's going to ask. And, you know, we deal with objections and how they're going to handle those and present to the judge and to the jury. So we do our own mock trials when we have a trial coming up as well.
Okay, Jojo, one more question, and that is the team atmosphere, camaraderie. How many people are on the team? Is it, and does the A team, B team, C team, and D team all, that are they all involved in that mock trial, or is it each team gets their own competition?
Everyone's involved.
Okay, talk about the camaraderie and the excitement and the relationships you're building being on the team.
Oh, yeah, we got around 40 guys on the team total, I think. And, you know, it's like a little cold at first. We don't really know each other. But, you know, as we work for the case and create exams for each other, and especially at Pittsburgh, is like when we really like come close and like make our own inside jokes and stuff. And, yeah, it's pretty fun.
Well, listen, I want to thank you, Jojo, for being back on the broadcast. You were awesome. Continued success at mock trial and obviously at school and in your endeavors. I'm sure we're going to have you on the broadcast again in the future. We really appreciate your time. We'll have more from our – well, by the way, any shout-outs before we go, Jojo? Anybody you want to say hello to?
Shout-out to all the coaches, you know, Penn, Steve, Kyle, Ryan, and all the other coaches.
Awesome. All right, we'll have more from our Sparking the Dream special in just a minute.
The future depends on teachers who are reinventing the classroom and starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our Sparking the Dream special here on WWDB Talk 860. I want to thank Dr. Bruce Grossinger, Grossinger Neuroscience, you know, for being a great guest, and he had to jump out early to go do some medical work there. But we want to thank Karen O'Donnell, Stark & Stark, for being our professional guest, and Brian Haas, athletic director at Roman Catholic High School, for also being on the broadcast and making it happen. Shout out to Brian Comrie, and of course, thanks to Sonny Banks for making our allowing us to do our show here at the location. We're going to bring in Chris Snyder into the broadcast, another student at Roman Catholic High School. How are you, Chris?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Great to have you. You had mentioned, so you're on the mock trial team.
Yes.
But you also do some other activities as well.
Yes. So, coming into Roman, I played football, fall sport, playing football, wrestling, and I am a part of a nonprofit organization called the Philadelphia Community Youth Court. So that's more so the restorative part of law. We're not punitive as mock trial would be. We're trying to help that person rebuild the harm they caused, and it's more so for the youth and was ran by the youth.
Wow.
Yeah. So okay. We have youth judges, youth bailiffs. The youth advocate is sort of like an attorney, so that's a youth person. We have a youth foreperson. The jury is all youth. And then we have parents who sit in on the case, and then the respondent.
So you already have some experience in this area. You kind of knew you were going to get into mock trial.
Yeah, okay.
Having said that, what's very interesting, Karen, what's interesting about that is this. Our labor union community, right, in which we do some of the shows with the kids that are in shop and they want to do welding and they want to be in a labor union. One of the things we do really well is rehabilitation, second chance programs, and all those things for somebody who may have made a mistake when they were younger and rehabilitated themselves. Kind of the theme of the organization you're talking about. So awesome. Having said that, you said you played football, right?
Yes.
And what position?
So I played offensive guard and defensive tackle.
No kidding. How'd you do this year?
Pretty good. I average 2 sacks a game on the defensive side, and You know, I was just collecting pancakes.
As an offensive line? Well, yes. Awesome. So awesome to have you
That's
on the
great.
Program. You get a chance, you're in Rome, you see the, you're walking down that hallway, you see the Hall of Fame plaques up there. Mm-hmm. Look for Joe Dockard. You're going to love it, man. having said that, let's talk a little bit about mock trial. Really, and we could just go into the organization that you how long were you part of that organization?
So I'm going into my third year with the Philadelphia Community Youth Court. It started off at my middle school, and eventually I was certified as just a youth court member. And later on, I was certified as a peer trainer. And that's basically I'm allowed and able to train other students to join the program. So now I'm looking into bringing a youth court into Roman Catholic, and it will be our first all-boys Roman youth court at Roman. So
wow.
Hopefully.
And just so everyone knows, he's a freshman.
He's a freshman.
He's a freshman. So he's been doing this for 3 years already in this legal field. It's amazing.
Fantastic. And I can tell you that it's so impressive. What do you love about, first of all, you've been a part of that. Do you see yourself potentially going to law school?
I've had thoughts about it. Obviously,
because you only have two weeks to make your decision. you know, in Philadelphia, you got to make a decision by your freshman year.
Right. Well.
No, but talk about that.
So I've thought about it. I have had thoughts about it. Sports is really big for me. I definitely want to pursue football in the future. I've thought about becoming like a school principal. Superintendent of a school district.
How about an athletic director, maybe? Do you know any athletic director?
I do know athletic directors. A coach is right here with me.
Mr. Haas. Shout out to Mr. Haas.
Thank you for bringing me here.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I'll tell you an interesting story. Karen knows a little bit about it. I was going through a hard time about 10 years ago. I ran into my high school football coach at one of the Roman Hall of Fame events, Coach Wagner. And I said to Coach, you know, those hundreds that we ran and all that hard work that we made is coming in right about now. So I will say this, the success you have in sports will live with you forever. So those skills, and that's why I asked Karen, are you an athlete? You know, we talked a little bit before, with track and what other areas?
Field hockey.
Oh, field hockey.
Gymnastics.
Right. Gymnastics and field hockey. Yeah, track, right? I mean, that sounds exactly like track. Sorry about that, Karen. but those skills... And by the way, the sky's the limit. So go for your dreams 100%. But just in case, you retire early from sports, nothing wrong with being an attorney to represent, by the way, those attorneys make pretty decent money and they're doing it. But the point is, what appeals to you about the mock trial and the things that you're doing?
Well, for me, it's learning my rights and learning the laws and rules of society. That really interested me. I'm learning at such a young age, and in the future I'll be able to teach others and my kids and just continuing that path line and generation. So it's more so about just learning new things. I always like to learn new things. That's what I've always wanted to do.
Talk about what you, when it comes to mock trial. Now, you're one of the younger people on the team, but I can see that you're going to be skyrocketing through with JoJo and being on the A-team fairly soon, okay? What position, you got witness, you got, defense attorney, you got plaintiff's attorney, anything in particular?
So right now I am an attorney with the prosecution. It was fun. Scrimmage, as JoJo mentioned earlier, everything was so new to me. It was like, it just came and went. And I had thought, like, am I doing this correctly? Am I saying what I need to be saying? But eventually when I made the team, I was like, all right, you did good. You just have to get better over time. And when they were throwing those objections out, I was like, wow. I did not know what to say sometimes.
Right.
They just, like, cat caught my tongue. So.
But Karen, talk about learning those protocols, because they matter to a judge. I know that.
Sure.
Talk about, so you're going to trial, and not all cases go to trial, and the art of negotiations, I'm sure, is a big deal. But talk about learning those skills.
So it's interesting that Christopher said when he looked at himself, he was wondering, could I do better? And I think both of you have that foundation to be a good lawyer, because I think as lawyers, we're always learning. And to this day, I mean, I've been doing this, I don't know, 20 years or so, I walk out of everything that I do and go, could I have done it better? You know, is there something that I missed? Something they know that I didn't know. And so we're always striving to do better. But when you're in that moment in trial, sometimes you have those moments where you're like, I'm not so sure I said that right thing. But you just try to get better and you listen and you learn. So
did you go to court? Did you go watch other professionals when you were young, when you were before? I know that Stark & Stark has got some amazing attorneys, and you're a shareholder now. So you're one of the attorneys that everybody looks up to. But when you started off, I've heard people say, listen, this person's in trial. I'm going to go watch what they're doing.
Yeah. And actually, that's one of the things we encourage at our firm. Like, we are very big on mentoring and making sure that as new attorneys come up that they are good lawyers, you know, and that they're good people. Like I hear Christopher say he's involved in a program and you're giving back to the community. That's one of the things that Stark & Stark prides themselves on. I mean, everybody in our firm in some respect is involved in some community activity, whether it's on a board or some nonprofit. So that's important, and because you're teaching other people what you know and you're giving back the skills and the information you know. So
we talk about – we're going to get into what area you're from. What grade school did you go to?
I went to Science Leadership Academy at Beaver.
Okay. You're from Philadelphia area?
Yes.
We all read some of the, you know, like the very difficult things that go on in our city with the youth. Talk about how to overcome them, and talk about, you know, how you do it. In other words, you know, who inspired you to go in this direction and not to be lured away by the crowd and get, you know, go down the wrong path.
Right. So I'd say it's my parents. They started for me. It's like, get involved in as much as you possibly can, because you never know what could happen out in the streets. We live in a cold world. So I just got involved in as much as I possibly could with mock trial, youth court. I joined the Black Student Union over at Roman. Obviously football, wrestling. I played squash. I had no idea what squash was.
By the way, anybody who doesn't know anything about wrestling, because I went, before I went to Roman, I went to Penn Charter for a year. They made me wrestle, and I didn't want to. It makes football practice, you know, like it looked like a skip in the park. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, it was like torture. And I had one match. It was 57 seconds of the most painful moment of my entire life. It's not important right now. That's fantastic. Karen, I know that, you know, the path that you took, also those challenges. I mean, law school is not, it's not the easiest thing. And we'll talk about, your path to, through law school and education. Because you said when in high school, even though I'm sure you were a good student, not to your standards now. And talk about how you kind of met those challenges academically and got on that path where success was, imminent.
At some point, I learned that academically you need to perform as well. So I did end up going to the Wharton School of Business and eventually ended up at Widener Law School. But I think the thing that drove me was to help others and give back. And when you start doing that, doors open up and people come into your life that are similar to you and want to do those things. So I would credit my parents, my friends, my husband Fran, and my boys for helping me and always supporting me every day to learn new things and take risks and to give back.
I mean, having said that, you know, that the challenges that life, you know, I mean, I always say, obviously, you know, there are challenges everywhere. You know, one of the great things about sports is, and what I love about Roman also is, the fair competition that is promoted. Listen, life's not a cakewalk. You're going to have some victories. You're going to have some losses. But standing back on your feet and believing in yourself and understanding that, okay, is what it's all about. So, first of all, Chris, can't tell you how impressed I am. Karen,
both of them.
JoJo and Chris, I think it's so important. And I'll say this to Brian Haas, our athletic director at Roman Catholic. One of the things that we like to talk about, and sure, we want to hear the student stories, and we want to hear the pathway of success from the attorneys, but also we broadcast this across the Delaware Valley, and we want listeners to understand the great things that happen, the great programs we have with our students, and the great people we have. This program, the hope that people have, adults, that the only thing we hear every day on the news is the bad news. And this program right here, JoJo Gabriel and Mr. Snyder here, Chris Snyder, you guys are a great example of what our future, entails. And Karen, talk about your impressions.
I'm taken back. I mean, these kids are sitting here with such poise and confidence and honesty and skills that, I mean, are just, they will be the leaders. They will be the leaders in our community.
Thanks for joining the program, Chris. I want to listen. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to our Spark and a Dream special here on WWDB Talk 860. We want to thank, shout out to Sonny Banks Law for allowing us to do it at such great offices. Of course, Karen O'Donnell, Stark & Stark, for being a part of the program. We finally got it done. And
thank you.
You were fantastic. Of course, Dr. Bruce Grossinger, who joined us earlier. Brian Haas, teacher at Roman and athletic director, and a shout out to Mr. Conroy as well. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Doherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.